Do guys still wear undershirts?
The tank top undershirt is not an undershirt. It's a problem.
It's a great, great
People
line.
Really wear, they don't wear those much anymore, do they?
I do once in a while.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Pulls his black socks up to his knees and
with his sandals.
Starts the motor.
Well, a lot of times I do.
Okay.
You sleep naked, Dave?
Okay, now this is going too
do
far.
Do you?
I can't discuss that, Steve.
I want the truth!
Do you sleep just in underwear? I'm curious now, too. Do you?
That's
what?
Not a no.
That's hot.
I used to sleep commando, but then the neighbors complained because I kept the windows open.
Gross.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
609, make it 610 now. You know, the good thing about Sandberg and Jake is Sandberg, you know, is got a delightful way of manipulating me, and she thinks I don't notice. And Jake will take bits of little sound from throughout the show, and in his own twisted perspective, come up with that little bit of genius.
I think he's an audio genius.
Yeah.
He really is. A montage genius.
610, it's the Indiana primary today. What you'll hear all day is that Donald Trump is going to win big, and he probably will, and then it's over. Well, it ain't over till the fat lady counts the delegates. And Ted Cruz, who spent about, it seemed like a week and a half. It was about a nine-minute exchange, but it seemed like a week and a half with a Trump supporter yesterday who just grinned at him like a mental patient and then insulted him whenever Cruz would pause. You know, Cruz seems like the wheels are coming off. He's got Carly Fiorina diving off stages, hoping to get a concussion and not be in the campaign anymore.
How about that?
It's just a big bowl of bad. And then, you know, Kasich apparently is in the witness protection program. Has anybody seen Kasich? You know, he's not even around anymore.
No.
On the Democrat side, Hillary Clinton apologizing to coal country yesterday. And Bernie Sanders still getting tons of people at his rallies, and everybody's saying there's no chance he could win. So crazy 2016 continues. Perspective on Indiana later this morning, by the way, from an expert there. And Nick DiGilio on in just a few minutes talking about the movies. I got to take a couple quick stories. So I saw one of the weirdest things you could ever... Well, let me back this up. I got a bird, a crazy bird, attacking my house.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And this bird keeps flying into the window.
Because it thinks it sees itself in the reflection, maybe?
Either that or it's some sort of, bird trying to, end it all. I don't know.
Or wants in.
But the bird flies into the window, bangs off the window, and then... I'll tell you how much this bird is thumping the window. Woke me up from like a 10-minute nap yesterday. You know, so...
There's a reason... I seriously think it's like mating season or something, and they think they see each other in the window, and they're trying to...
Trying to hump himself in the window?
Something like that, maybe.
Are you sure it's not a woodpecker?
Did I say it wasn't or wasn't? I don't think I said it was or wasn't a woodpecker.
Is it a crazy red-winged blackbird?
I don't know what it is. I don't know birds.
They're not.
I don't know. We need a...
An ornithologist.
Yes. I was going to say a birdologist, but yes.
Yeah.
He probably just knows that you're normally late.
What do you mean? So that's why he's thumping me? Yeah. Because I'm falling asleep?
We have alarm clocks. You have a snooze bird.
I got a...
That is kind of cool. You have your own snooze bird.
Well, get up.
So the bird keeps banging off the window. Mm-hmm. So I took a dramatic step. I closed the drape to kill the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure I fixed the bird problem, and I'm a genius. And then it's a few hours later, and the bird's now banging off a different window.
I was going to say, yeah.
And I think it's the same bird. Because all the other birds are laughing at him and pointing their wings at him. And look at Claude the crazy bird. So I spent about 10 minutes of my life, I'll never get back again, online researching how to keep birds from flying into your windows. And it's this crazy reflective tape. And if you put the reflective tape on your window, I hang it there with a couple of push pins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it blows in the wind, and the birds think, well, there's a crazy reflective tape monster that I don't want to go near, and then the bird doesn't come around. So we'll see if it works. But in the process of this, I saw one of the most unusual things you'd ever see, much more unusual than a suicidal bird. I saw children playing outside. Yeah.
No.
It gets worse. Children playing outside without adult supervision.
And no electronic devices?
And no electronic devices. Wait. It's weirder. It's like Halley's Comet. Children playing outside, no electronic devices, no adult supervision, just kicking a ball around. That's right, getting physical exercise.
Well, who was telling them how to kick the ball properly?
They must have done some time on the internet as well. You know, while I was looking up bird attacks, they were looking up how to kick a ball without adult supervision or your cell phones.
They probably have locators in their skin.
And it wasn't a virtual ball?
No, and it wasn't virtual children. They were actual children.
When they were done playing with the ball, were you there when everybody got an award?
We were waiting for the trophies to be presented. Now, here's the thing. I was delighted. I was delighted to see this. So I go outside to put the reflective tape on the window, and the kids are playing outside. It was at that exact point that the ball they were kicking ends up in my yard. And I'm about to go outside and go, "Hey, dude, you having fun?" And the kid looks up terrified as I'm walking outside. He goes, "Hey, sorry, I'll get this ball." And he goes back in his yard. Now, the only conclusion you could draw from that, because my response was obvious, I go, "Dude, no problem, have fun." The only conclusion you can draw from that is his parents said, "Don't kick the ball in the old guy's yard. Don't kick the ball in the old guy's yard. There's an old guy that lives there. Don't kick it in his yard."
Right. Oh, yep. Were you fully dressed?
Yeah, of course I was.
Oh, okay.
I had on Dave's tank top T-shirt and boxer shorts and black socks. But I come out the back door, and I'm thinking, I'm the old guy. I'm the old guy. You can't kick the ball into my yard now.
Did you?
What the hell did that happen?
You're the get-off-my-lawn guy.
I'm the get-off-my-lawn guy.
You are, yeah. Well, you are a grandpa now.
But I've never, ever. I love kids. Love kids. I was going to say something to the kid. Like, you know, I was going to go over and start kicking the ball around. Then I was afraid the authorities would be called. You know, because
there's an old man kicking my ball around.
Hey, kids, kick it to my good hip. But it was a delightful moment that suddenly I was just hoping the bird would just hit me in the head and just end it all.
Oh, boy.
Because the look on the little guy's face was like he was in trouble. It's like, "No, kid, kick the ball all you want. Tear my lawn up. I don't care. Just have fun. You're children. You're outside playing."
Just remove the sign that says, "Get off my lawn."
No solicitors.
And then I go back inside and go, did I have a spell? Did I go outside and yell at the kids at some point? Did I? This is so awful.
Well, did the reflective tape work?
Well, I don't know, because it was dusk last night and the bird was off shift.
You okay, know, got it.
Like when Wile E. Coyote punched out after he chased the dog around all day. So the bird won't be back until today.
Yep. Speaking of coyotes, I have a story.
You got a coyote story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so this coyote says to Dave, "Sorry, mister, I'll get the dead animal out of your yard." At 616, Mary's on the 7th floor, but she knows where the traffic is, and here's her story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You go to any wedding this summer, you see white people behaving themselves until this comes on. Nothing makes a room full of white people move more than this. And by the way, I'm not talking about good movement. White people with no rhythm respond to this song scientifically more than any other song. Come on. Of course, a very famous song as well in movie history, isn't it, Nick DiGilio?
It certainly is one of the most iconic scenes in film history.
We'll get to Risky Business in a second, but did you see Keanu this weekend?
Yes, I did, my friend.
And
I have not laughed harder at a movie in a couple of years.
Come on! Easily.
Yeah, I mean, I was scream laughing through the entire thing. And, you know, I happen to love Key and Peele very much.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, man. And, you know, I happen to also love Cats. Let me encourage people to check out online. I guess you can do a Google search, but it's actually on my Facebook page, on the show page. So if you go to Facebook.com/NickDShow.
Okay.
We have on there, in the movie, Jordan Peele, he gets dumped by his girlfriend. He can't figure out why he dumped her, because he's trying to figure out, as he's sitting on his couch, smoking a bong with a poster of Heat behind him.
Were you thinking of me?
I was thinking of you. He's got a poster for Heat on one wall and a poster for the movie Cloud Atlas on the other wall.
Oh,
and he can't figure out why his girlfriend left him.
That's funny. So and you, a guy who knows that one of your wives left you over a movie, this movie is like written about you.
Yeah, my first wife left me because I watched Waterworld twice. So she came home twice, two separate occasions from work. I was watching Waterworld. The second time she went, "Yeah, I'll be in the other room talking to the lawyer."
And by the way, every woman driving to work now is going, all right. So you highly recommend Keanu.
It's one of the funniest movies of the year, but I want people to check this out. In the movie, he loves this cat so much that he starts photographing it, reenacting famous scenes from movies, and he's going to have him make a calendar out of it. So, like, January will be Heat, February will be Seven, March will be Point Break, and so on and so forth. And they have all of those photos online, and I'm telling you, they should sell this as a calendar because I'd buy it. But the pictures are hilarious. You can see them online if you Google, like, Keanu calendar, but we have it on our Facebook page on my show. So it's facebook.com/NickDShow. They're hysterical. And it's just one of the many things.
And no cats were harmed in the filming of Keanu?
Not at all. And they needed seven cats. They used seven cats because...
Was it a union thing?
Yeah, and they could only... It's 2 hours a day. You know how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
The cat union is very strict. It's like the kids union.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they needed seven cats because they needed one... You know, one cat was good at jumping, one cat was good at making noise, one cat was good at, like, sitting still. So it took seven cats to create one magnificent cat in Keanu.
Heard an interesting argument about this movie the other day that made me laugh, but I think it's true. You couldn't do this movie with adorable puppies because the adorable puppies would distract from the comedy. And because of the cat-based comedy of the internet, people are already used to laughing at cats position.
It's really funny because, like, Key and Peele have blatantly gone on record as saying, yeah, we wanted to make our first movie popular, so we put a damn cat in it.
Right.
Yeah.
they're cinematic geniuses.
Yeah.
All right, before we talk about Risky Business, how do we get tickets for your movie tonight?
Oh, man, I'm so excited about this one, as I mentioned before. MovieCode.com, MUVICO. Go to the MovieCode.com and type in the Rosemont Theater, and it'll take you to the seating chart. Pick your seating chart. Pick your seats. It'll be waiting for you tonight. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. Get there around 7. Have some great food at Bogart's. If you want to have some cocktails, you can during the movie and everything. At 8 o'clock, I'll introduce the movie, and then afterwards, there will be a dissertation by me. it's the first one that we've done that I actually have notes that I've brought.
Wow.
Notes. And this is a really important movie to me. It was kind of a life changing film. You know, I was 18 when it came out. I was between high school and college, so is the main character, and a lot of the pressures and weird stuff that happens at that age was happening to me, although differently. I'm not a rich North Shore kid, but it's a movie that I found astounding and sad and bitter. I think one of the best satires ever made. It's been compared to The Graduate. I personally think it's better, and you know, it made a star out of Tom Cruise, and to this day it is a dreamlike, just gorgeous movie. Chicago has never looked better in any movie, and I'm really excited about it. So MovieCode.com.
MovieCode.com. And be honest, did you ever do the underpants dance from the movie while you were alone at your house?
I just did it 15 minutes before you called.
Okay, all right.
And a real quick side note on that, you know that all it said in the script was, it said Old Time Rock and Roll was the song. That's the song that Paul Brickman, the director, chose.
Uh-huh.
And all it said in the script was, Joel celebrates.
Oh, really? So the rest is an ad lib?
The rest is all Cruise. And they wax the floor. You know that entrance he makes where he slides in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They wax the floor halfway so he would stop where he stops.
These are the things you have to think about on a movie set.
Yeah. So, but it is such an extraordinary movie. Really quickly, Tom Cruise almost didn't get the part. Because when they saw
it, it was originally going to be Vic Tayback from Alice. You don't remember that, the grill cook.
yeah. And Ron Liebman, I believe, was up for it, too. But
for the kids in my backyard, these are the kind of jokes the old guy with it doesn't want the ball in your yard makes.
I made a reference to Buffy and Jody this morning, and Dan and Esmeralda looked at me like, well, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Affair.
Family Affair, I know.
Yeah, Sebastian Bach.
But Sebastian Bach from Skid Row? You mean Sebastian Cabot?
Oh, yeah. Sebastian. Hey, I had to write Sebastian.
You did. You're Sebastian.
You know what? It would have been a much better show if it was Sebastian Bach.
Sandberg, do you ever see Risky Business?
I did. My family got our first VHS player in 1984.
Uh-huh.
And the two very first movies my dad rented for us to watch on a Saturday double feature at the Sandberg household, Risky Business and Flashdance, because Katie and I were both in dancing, and there's dancing in both. We were 8-7.
So how did he? How did How did he feel about risky business?
Risky business. We saw the one dancing. We also happened to see what happens on the L train as well, and we were horrified. You know?
Did you ask? You go, Daddy, what's a hooker?
No, he just kept saying, "Cover your eyes, cover your eyes."
Cover your eyes, because Daddy's going to finish watching the movie.
Yeah. So initially, it was a traumatic experience seeing Risky Business.
It'd be nice if you took your dad tonight. Yeah. Take your dad to Nick's movie tonight.
Memories, yeah.
And Flashdance.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. Yeah.
Also inappropriate for an 8- and 7-year-old
Especially
girl.
The lobster scene.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And
what
the water scene coming down.
But I did learn to take off a bra under my shirt from that movie.
There you go.
John, you were 43 when that movie came out. You just learned how to take off a bra then?
Oh, it took me that long.
Okay. All right, one more time. MovieCode.com or...
By the way, what's a bra?
It's been a while for Nick.
Yeah, it has.
Nick was watching Waterworld.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of bra unhooking, I've been watching Waterworld for 14 years. It's MovieCode.com, M-U-V-I-C-O, MovieCode.com. Again, only $10. Parking is free. And this is, I'm really excited about this. My second favorite film of all time and a life changer for me. So,
all right, buddy. All the best. That's Nick DiGilio. We're back after this with the big story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week leads to Kid of the Year. Every week we put another entrant into the Kid of the Year competition. At the end of 2016, we will have another Kid of the Year winner, and Ray and Raymond Chevrolet awards a $5,000 prize to that kid to do with as they please. Could be chicks, could be liquor. No, it's a scholarship. What are you talking about? If you know a child that goes above and beyond for his family, his community, nominate them for Kid of the Week. WGNRadio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. And as I said, in December, we pick a big winner. And you can see all the great things going on at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, Ray Chevy in Fox Lake, Raymond Chevy in Antioch at RayandRaymondDeals.com. Don't forget, online at WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your Kid of the Week entry. We got the Kid of the Week this week from someone you know.
I do, yeah. One of my dear friends. We grew up together, Michelle Levis. We were having dinner the other night, and she was telling me about her niece, and just, I was blown away. Again, you know, we always hear wonderful stories about, and she said, you know what, I want to nominate her for Kid of the Week. I said, do it. So she went online, went through the process, and what a stellar kid. You're going to love Jessica.
18 years old, manages to hold down more than one part-time job, volunteers with the elderly, participates in honor flights in Chicagoland. You know what honor flight is, everybody, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're flying World War II vets and Korean vets to Washington so they can see their memorials that were built for them. Raises awareness of the global refugee crisis through her leadership in the Global Citizens Club, raises money for the American Cancer Society, mentors eighth grade students as they prepare for high school, and is an award-winning member of the basketball, track, and field teams at Glenbrook North High School. She's a burgeoning playwright and filmmaker. She just won first and second place awards at the Midwest Media Educators Association High School Film Festival. And by the way, she has a 4.0 GPA and is currently taking 4 advanced placement college level classes at Glenbrook North. As the oldest of 4, she is a role model for her younger sibs, and as a high school teacher, and for 11 years, been fortunate enough to work with incredible young women, young men and women. My niece is a young lady who truly goes above and beyond. This is from your friend Michelle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who's a Chicago public school teacher.
You know, we have a lot of kids that come through where you go, wow, that's an exceptional kid. I don't know when this kid sleeps.
I don't either.
And once again, we bring you a fine example of why your kids are a colossal disappointment. Jessica is Kid of the Week. So let's go to Jessica. Jessica, your schedule is ridiculous. Will you take a day off?
I don't think I'll know how to take a day off.
Well, congratulations. You sound like an amazing young lady.
Thank you.
Where do you get all the energy?
I am not sure because I do not get a lot of sleep.
One foot in front of the other?
Yeah.
Now, Andrea, fill me in. Do you guys know each other?
No, Jessica and I, well, we met when she was very little, and then Jessica and her family moved away briefly, but then came back, and I just think you're absolutely amazing. How did you get, you know, all these events that you do are just amazing. The crisis in Syria, though, I mean, it's so near and dear to so many people. It's such an escalating world crisis. How did you get involved with the refugee, you know, raising money and awareness?
Yeah,
and
how were you interested in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a part of the Global... I'm actually co-president of the Global Citizens Club at my school. So basically, each semester, we choose a different charity to sponsor. And this year, when we were trying to discuss, like, different charities, just, I mean, we were just drawn to, like, the Syrian crisis just because of how bad it is right now and how, like, how much aid that they really need. So, like, we decided this year just to focus solely on the Syrian refugee crisis. And you know, raising money and awareness.
Yeah, and, you know, we sit in a window here on Michigan Avenue with thousands of people that walk by every morning, and I bet you could stop 100 adults who couldn't tell you much about the Syrian refugee crisis, and you and the others in the club are getting it done, so good for you.
Thanks.
Tell me about the sports side of this. You must have practice every day, right?
Yeah, I go right from basketball practice all winter to track practice all spring and up until like mid-May, so haven't gotten much rest.
All right, so let me just go through your day. Give me a typical day schedule for you. What time do you get up?
I usually get up around 6:15.
All right, 6:15.
Yeah.
So you're ready for school. You have breakfast. What time do you get to school?
Most days I have to get to school early because I have club meetings in the mornings. So I get to school.
All right. So then you do your advanced placement classes. You do your day at school. And then do you have homework at night or do you try to knock that out during the day?
I don't have a free period this year just because I'm taking a lot of classes.
Right.
So the only time to do my homework is at night.
All right. So then after you've got practice, what time do you get home for dinner?
I'm a part of the film program at my school. So a lot of the times after practice, I'll have to go film something for our like news channel or something like that. So usually I don't get home around till like 8 o'clock,
and then you got at least an hour or two of homework.
Yeah, sometimes I'm involved in this like youth ministry program, so sometimes I have to do that too, so I won't get home till like 9-10 o'clock, and then I do my homework.
She's tireless.
But you do have to take care of yourself. Do you think you're spread a little too thin?
Sometimes. I try to relax on the weekends.
All right, good.
And congratulations, too. These film awards are huge. You know, when you enter any sort of contest, but to win first and second place in these film contests, that's amazing.
Yeah, you're something else. Yeah. What do you want to be after college?
I think I want to be, like, involved in, like, politics. So I want to maybe go into, like, lobbying or things like that.
But don't be a lobbyist. Be the president, because we'll vote for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're an inspiration to all of us, and keep up the good work. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
But yeah, have all the fun you're having. You know, that's the thing. You got this kind of energy, and you're 17, is that right?
18.
You're 18 years old? You're 18? Mm-hmm. Do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah. Have fun. Where are you going to college?
I'm going to the University of Maryland.
Oh, good.
Well, with a 4.0, you must have had some offers, right?
Yeah.
She did. She got. She got a couple of offers too.
Yeah. So
Oregon.
So you got offers to go to other schools. How'd you decide on Maryland?
It's really close to Washington D.C.
Oh, there you go with the politics.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for being a great kid, and thanks for being Kid of the Week. Yeah. We have a bunch of prizes we're going to take care of you with off the air, and I'd say we'll be in touch again, but you don't have time to talk to me. We'll catch up on the air someday. Hold on, though, if you can, all right?
Remember us in Washington,
hurry,
Jessica.
You guys, get their information quickly. She's on a schedule. The Kid of the Week, as always, gets great prizes, including Lou Malnati's Pizza, 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, loumalnati's.com. Let's see. Let's do... I was going to give her registration for Bike the Drive, but I don't know that she can fit that in. She's only got a 15-minute window that day.
I knew she was in a lot of activities, but I didn't know it was all day and all night.
Yeah, basically 6:15 to 10 p.m.
Well, it is Memorial Day weekend. Maybe she'll have something
on.
Oh,
man. What a great kid. And really takes care of her siblings, too. Just a great all-around kid.
Let's give her tickets to see the Chicago Jazz Orchestra. Maybe make her sit for a couple of hours, right?
Relax.
Three outstanding vocalists who paid tribute to a jazz icon, and Sarah Vaughan in particular. On Friday, May 20th, and you might be going, she's a kid. She's not going to like that. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she
will. She's a world kid.
She might have a track meet, though.
Wes, I'm trying to get her to slow down for a second. Yeah. And a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and extra coffee from Papa Nicholas
extra coffee,
as well.
Extra pizza.
And I think we got some other stuff to give her. Give her my car.
That'd be nice.
So there you go. Mary, with your traffic, and then we'll find out from Nick why Tom Cruise didn't get the part unless I forget and interrupt him again. Or why he did get the part and almost didn't unless I interrupt him again. $6.54. I was kidding when I said Jessica probably is too busy to do the bike to drive. She's too busy to do the bike to drive.
No, is she really?
She really is.
Oh, told you. Yeah, Mary's right. She's probably his track meets.
So,
mom.
No, she, Mary, you were kidding? She's running a 5K that morning.
Well, close. For charity, I'm sure.
I feel like you have a disappointing kid in your family. You should just be able to rent her just to make you feel better about yourself as an adult.
I love our kids of the week.
It's amazing. I have complimentary registration for up to four riders for MB's Bike the Drive on May 29th. In other words, you're in for free. Kick off the summer and enjoy Lakeshore Drive with your family on the 15th annual Bike the Drive. How's your team doing?
It's doing great. You guys all have to sign up. Justin Kaufman and I are the co-captains of Bike the Drive. And it's not a contest or a competition, but I'd love to sign up more people than Justin. No, sign up. We're going to have a great time. I think there are... refreshments and Bloody Marys afterwards, so we're going to have
Justin,
a nice
call me.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yes, so sign up for your team is what you're saying.
You
and where
up
do
my
you
team.
Where do you sign up?
Oh, it's a... Oh, I should have that. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, that would
keep
be
talking. Hold on.
You look that part up. It's going to be important for your push. You go to mbbikethedrive.org.
mbbikethedrive.org, Steve.
And we search your name, or what's the deal?
Let me find that. You know what? Yes, we're going to go to mbbikethedrive.org.
Yeah.
Or you can go to wgnradio.com/events.
Ah, the events page.
Yes.
The world famous events page. All right, so there you go. And if you are willing to bike the drive with your family, we'll set you up for free. Thanks to our kid of the week. Jessica couldn't make it because she's curing disease that morning while she runs a 5K.
Running a 5K, then yes. Playing a round of golf, then having a track meet, then going to the prom.
It's unbelievable. I actually need a nap talking to her. Yeah, just hearing her schedule. At 6:56, a reminder, 1 week from Sunday night, John DeCosta and I will be on stage again at the Rosemont Zanies. And we love that room.
It's a great room.
It really is one of the best rooms for comedy in the country.
Yeah, and this isn't just stand-up.
No, this is a talk show on stage. Think late-night TV, put it on stage on a tiny stage with a tiny desk and too many people. And you've got, what did you rename this?
Early Late Night Show with Steve Cochran.
Early Late Night with Steve Cochran.
Yeah, and our special guest.
You sure Late Night to me is not better?
Okay.
It's already being billed. I'm sorry.
It's already billed.
So if you go to zanies.com, you can get tickets.
Yes, you can contact ZanesRosemont.com, or you can call their box office at 847-813-0484.
Nice thing. If you've always wanted a tube of Genucel, and for whatever reason didn't order, if you've always wanted a MyPillow, and for whatever reason you haven't ordered, those are among the prizes we'll give away that night. Huh? Right? Huh?
Yeah, but there's music. We're
talking
there's
about
laughter.
Hundreds of dollars
it's
in
wonderful.
Prizes. And
seeing you guys is prize enough.
Special guests on stage. They'll be answering hard-hitting personal questions for me that they won't address on the air. Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis.
Oh, you're going to allow them in after what they did, huh?
Yeah, well, we'll probably do footage of the theft.
Yeah, forgive and forget kind of thing?
Yeah, well, possibly. So that's Rosemont Zanies again, May
15th, 7 o'clock show.
Rosemont Zanies. Go to zanies.com, hit the Rosemont location in the calendar, or just call what number?
847-813-0484.
It'll be funny and hard-hitting.
Yes.
Now,
we were going to call it 60 minutes, but we're going to call it 23 minutes.
Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to start karaoke. The second annual karaoke. Now, you have to sing in your car to qualify for karaoke. We'll do this in the 7 o'clock hour for starters. But if you're willing to pull to the side of the road and sing any song at all, as long as it's in your car, we'll begin to take entrance here and judge you.
Yes, we will.
Because this is show business. All we do is judge people. And finally, a couple minutes before 7, Nick, what's the story? Why did Tom Cruise almost miss out on Risky Business?
Wait, I got to follow that kid?
Kid's unbelievable.
Do you know what I did when I was her age? Sleep till around noon, go to McDonald's where I quote unquote worked, stick my finger up my nose, eat McNuggets, go home and watch The Stooges. That's what I did at her age.
Well, you remember when I used to do that bit, Disappointment of the Week? Remember, yeah. Remember you were a big winner?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay, so people want to know why Tom Cruise almost didn't get the part.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people were up for it, most notably John Cusack. And oddly, Nicolas Cage was also up for it. But the main reason he didn't get it was because the first time that Paul Brickman, the director, saw him, he was rushed from the set of The Outsiders. So he had greasy hair. He had a chipped tooth. He couldn't wash off the tattoos that were on his arms. He walks into this room, the polar opposite of what Joel Goodson, North Shore teenager, should look like. His read was a little shaky because he was so nervous about the way he looked. And because he only had a few hours to prepare, he had to take a red eye to come in. So he looked bleary-eyed. He looked like a maniac. And Brickman was like, I don't want to see this kid again. So Cruise's agent had to beg Brickman to say, look, this is for a part that he's doing. He's working with Coppola. Just, you know, let him come back. And so when Cruise came back, he got his teeth fixed. He was able to get rid of the tattoos. He cleaned his hair, and he came in. And he killed his audition. Then they were leaning towards Cage or Cusack until that second read, when Tom Cruise came in looking like a normal kid, not a crazy greaser from the 50s.
Can we see a Nicolas Cage in that part?
No.
God.
No.
That would be weird.
I can't see anybody.
Well, not now, for sure.
You know,
wait, before you let Nick go, can I tie this all together in a nice happy bow for Nick? The kid of the week's aunt just texted and said, hey, Sebastian Bach had a great recurring role on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. It's one big, happy, confusing circle. That's how we roll. All right, thanks, Nick. Back with the news next on 720 WGN. All right, so just to give you some perspective, I just did a little quick research here. This Leicester City 5,000-1 odds thing.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley has almost unarguably the worst golf swing ever. Charles Barkley plays every year in something called the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship with a bunch of celebrities, some who are pretty good players. Like, remember the old soap opera guy, Jack Wagner?
I loved him.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's in Melrose Place, too.
And there's a couple of guys in hockey that are really good. The Redskins had an old quarterback who was pretty good. A couple of baseball pitchers like Rick Rushel.
Yeah. Right. Pretty good. Mark Rippon. Always
Mark Rippon, that's a guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Barkley was 5,000-1 to win it last year, the Celebrity Golf Championship. Leicester City 5,000-1. I mean, again, if you know, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I respect the sport, and I got to tell you something. That's a big story. So, and then Paul Coit's team, our buddy Paul Coit, his team finished second.
Yeah, so I feel bad for him.
Yeah, because we like Paul, and Paul doesn't have any joy in his life. Paul's got the two cutest kids. Did I tell you about his kids?
I've seen pictures. Man. When you went to London. You had pictures of
tremendous.
The kids.
They're just tremendous.
They wore little robes.
They did not get little robes, but again, I want to thank Susan Ellison from the Peninsula for sending me a monogram Peninsula robe.
I want to talk to her. I want to get one of those.
The people from HR kept following me around yesterday. Apparently, I got to wear pants at work when I'm wearing the robe.
Well,
what's the point of the robe?
Or you know what? Keep the robe tied.
Oh.
Keep it closed, yeah. At work, anyway.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. All right, 717, before we get to an old buddy who is in Cuba on a cruise ship, let's do this. Mary, what's the traffic?
Inbound Eisenhower is about the worst. Hour 25 from 53. Hour 10 in from Mannheim. Some sunshine delays there. Outbound 45 minutes to 53. Stevenson inbound 56 from the Tri-State. The Kennedys inbound from O'Hare 50 minutes. 22 from the Edens and outbound 36 to the airport. Watch for an accident. Also northbound on the Tri-State at 95th. Mary Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I am so blessed to be an American. Cuban by birth, American by the grace of God. Glad to be back in Cuba after 48 years and 8 days. And just thinking of that day when we left and shaking like a leaf right now.
What does it mean?
And I'm blessed to be here today.
Stuart Chiron was on with us, I think, shortly after the president opened relations with Cuba again, talking about it's not going to be long, kids. It's not going to be long before you're going to be able to cruise to Cuba. Of course, you went to Cuba, when was it, last fall?
I went to Cuba last October, loved it. Didn't take a cruise, but right. I was there for 5 days, loved it.
But we knew this was coming. And now Stuart, who's taken 9,875,302 cruises, is on the most historic cruise I believe he's ever taken. I can't imagine one being more historic, and joins us live. Are you in Havana?
Hi, Steve. Yes, I'm in Havana.
How about
that? We're Doc. This is we're on our second day, and I mean, what are the odds? You in London, me in Havana. That's got to be more than 5,000 to 1.
Well, congratulations. Explain the history behind this, and did Carnival have to get some special approval to be the first?
Well, it's been an arduous process, and they originally were going to be sending the ship exclusively from Miami to the Dominican Republic. Then they went for the long shot and applied for U.S. approval and Cuban approval to sail between the United States and Cuba. The United States came back rather quickly. Cuba, literally maybe about a month ago, was when the approval came, and then they had the hiccup with Cuba has a long-standing law that barred native-born Cubans from returning to the island by sea. That was overcome, it was just just an outrageous experience. So, I mean, there was no way that we were not coming. It was a crack in the ice. The ship, we had to get here. If there were some, things we had to overcome at later sailings, let's deal with it. But let's take advantage of the opportunity. They're allowing Americans to come on a cruise ship. So there are 700 passengers on board this 30,000-ton ship. And all I could tell you, Steve, leaving Miami was, quite euphoric. But what an experience arriving into Havana with, the Cubans lining the streets. And, we thought there'd be more, but they had May. It was May Day, the celebration yesterday. There were a lot of people at home. But when we came off the ship out of the terminal, there were thousands in the main square there. And it was like a family reunion. They didn't care if you were, you had Cuban family, if you were Cuban. They were just thrilled to see Americans.
And the people on the ship got on the ship how? Was it first come, first serve, or are they some sort of VIP class?
No, this is a revenue cruise. So, there are media. Everybody paid if you wanted to come. The demand for the sailings is very strong right now. The people paid. The ship sold out very quickly. There were a few cabins left, but once the approval for the native-born Cubans to be able to go, they did it. But Steve, all I could tell you is it's a wonderful place, but I mean, it really is back in the 50s and 60s.
No, I know. Andre was there last fall. Andre, say hi to Stuart.
Stuart, I absolutely loved it. Two quick questions for you. When I went, we had to declare what we were there for, educational journey. You had to fall into one of those 10 or 12 right. categories. So, number one, do you still have to do that on the cruise? And are you able to leave the boat and go into downtown Havana and see some of the sights and go to some of the little restaurants and whatnot?
The convenience of coming down on Fathom Zadonia is that they handle the visa for you. They provide all the documentation for all of the excursions you're going to be taking. In fact, they provide the excursion. So we did a really nice walking city tour of Havana yesterday. They include all the documentation you need to certify that you adhered to the 12 conditions of travel to Cuba. We can get off the ship kind of do our own thing as well. We're going to do that later this morning. It's just overwhelming. I mean, the people are just so thrilled. I mean, there are other cruises that leave out of Cuba or have visited Cuba, but not from America. And so this is essentially the first time a regularly scheduled sailing has occurred from the United States to Cuba since 1958.
How about that?
So it's been 58 years. It's a beautiful floating hotel. You know where your meals are at. There's the safety and security of the ship, and we're right downtown. So we're just in old Havana. So it's very convenient to get in and out and be able to go experience. And then also we're going to be heading tonight. Today's our second day, so tonight we're going to be leaving about 8 o'clock, and we're heading for Cienfuegos. And then we'll head to the southern part of Cuba, to Santiago. And all I can tell you is it's a surreal experience. One, being on the very first sailing from the United States to Cuba. But, it's just a wonderful way for people. I mean, it's been so close to me You know, it's about 215 miles from Miami.
Yeah.
Or 90 miles from Key West. That it's kind of like the Area 51. You know where it is. You just can't go there.
Yeah, exactly. And Andre, you were one of the first Americans to go after you know, relations were normalized.
Yep.
And now, Stuart, I'm thrilled for you because you've been in the cruise business for so long to be able to be a part of this. Makes total sense that you're there. So the obvious last one-off question here is this a one-off or is this a regular thing that people can book now?
No, it's, you can book it right now. It goes every other week. So it alternates between doing the social impact cruises to the Dominican Republic where, you know, you can teach English classes. You know, they do... reforestation, you know, building water filters for underprivileged families, and then it turns the next week and it goes to Cuba, and it does this, you know, every other week. They are available for sale right now. I mean, it's not your normal Caribbean cruise. All they're doing is going to Cuba. Those are, you know, that's one of the stipulations from the Cuban government.
Well, they can work all that out with you, though. I mean, they can clear up all those questions with you and go to Cruise Guy. I assume you're booking these. Yeah. CruiseGuy.com?
Yeah. People are so excited to go, Steve.
CruiseGuy.com. That's our friend Stuart Sheeran. You go to CruiseGuy.com. He'll hook you up.
Highly, highly, highly recommend Cuba. It was unbelievable. It was wonderful.
And thank you to Stuart. All right. You sing in the car anyway. So why wouldn't you sing for us? It's the second annual karaoke where musical judgment comes from Judge John. If you'd like to sing in a car, anything you want to sing, you could be the first entrant into karaoke. Big prizes, too. Got a lot of great prizes to give away this year. We'll come back with our first contestant on karaoke, 312-981-7200. Let's hear you sing, and please pull over to the side of the road, blah, blah, blah. Look, I got to trust you. You're an adult. You could be lying to me. What do I know? 312-981-7200. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Here's your opportunity. It's the second annual karaoke. John, you will judge the contestants.
Yes.
And then we will finally get down to three finalists. Those finalists will appear in the parking lot of 720 WGN next week.
Right, Friday the 13th.
And on Friday the 13th, on that morning, you'll be in the parking lot with them, judging them while they sing in their car.
Yes.
Eventually, somebody will win. There's two ways to send in your submissions. You can tweet us 15 seconds or less of you singing. You can go at Cochran Show with hashtag singing in the car or send an email to stevecochranshow@wgnradio.com. The three finalists will be announced next Wednesday, and then they'll be invited to come down on Friday. The grand prize winner gets a two-night stay at the Palmer House, a Hilton Hotel, Apt prizes as well from Apt Electronics, and get all the details at wgnradio.com/contest. All three of our finalists will win, but our big winner will win bigger. See? So let's meet contestant number one. John, are you prepared to judge?
I am ready.
Carolyn, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning.
Carolyn, what will you be singing?
I'm going to sing just a little snippet by Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett, here's...
Oh, good choice. Good choice, Carolyn.
Carolyn!
Thank you. Someday, when I'm awfully low, I will feel a glow. I will feel that glow just thinking of you and the way you look. Nice.
Shut it down,
how about
man.
That?
Shut it down. There's your winner.
Great vibrato.
Shut it down.
This is phenomenal. Yeah, that was awesome.
I get my lighter out.
That was, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
She sold it. She sexed it up. It was great.
Oh, it was good. Oh, that was, you had your own rhythm to it, your own, oh, that was very good.
Little vibrato.
Very impressed. Yes.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yes.
Brandon standing by. Brandon, we got to get to the big story, but Brandon, if you can come back with us in a few minutes, we'll get Brandon on as well. That's a pretty good start, dude.
I love that. What a way to get it going.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
If we win, it's over. And then I can focus. Then I don't have to worry about Lion Ted Cruz, and I don't care if he endorses me or does. I couldn't care less.
Nobody's going to get to 1237. I'm not going to get to it, but neither is Donald Trump. And I'll tell you, I think Indiana is going to be a critical state in that. Indiana's voting tomorrow, and I'm encouraged that we're seeing conservatives come together, including especially Governor Mike Pence.
What makes you so sure he won't get the delegates? I mean, getting 47% of the remaining delegates isn't inconceivable at all.
Well, he hasn't gotten 47% to date. That's better than he's done.
Mark Everson ran for president. And it's a longer discussion that Mark and I can have on the air at some point about the need for shaking up the whole system and not cutting out people. that are legitimately interested, have a shot and have a story to tell and a perspective to give. Having said that, Mark Everson, also arguably the most important confidant for Governor Mitch Daniels in Indiana, one of the most popular governors in America. And he knows Indiana inside out, upside down and backwards. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me.
So explain to us, even though we're right next door, explain to us, is it over if Trump wins? Because my understanding is Ted Cruz can come back and negotiate his way through some delegates, even if he gets thumped tonight. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but it does seem that the momentum has really shifted quite dramatically, starting back with New York. And politics is a lot about momentum. So yep. I think it's definitely breaking Trump's way, and it seems to be, all the indications are, pretty decisively in Indiana in the last few days. That having been said, though, Steve, I would say I was in the state last week, and I have had conversations with friends just in the last 24 hours. Three of my friends, they say they don't know who they're going to vote for today. So there's, there is still something that's been in the air and unpredictable about this, because both of the candidates are seen as having some hair on them.
Well, if you take Trump's massive negatives that he shows up with statistically all the time, and his blowhardness, and all of the things that we already have attributed to him, combine that with Ted Cruz's lack of likability. This is not just a Senate thing. You spend some quality time with Ted Cruz, you generally come back with the same opinion his colleagues in the Senate have. So it's understandable, I suppose, that the people are having a tough time figuring out who to vote for.
I was in Indy last week, and a bartender said to me, and she was broadening this conversation to the Democratic side, she said, this year it's a little bit like picking which STD do you want.
That's tremendous. All right, now what about the Democrats? I mean, this looks like a very tight race, and we know it's proportional. It's proportional delegates everywhere, but is Hillary going to win Indiana?
I think that's too close to call. You know, if you look at what Bernie's done in the past, he just sort of creeps up on you. And I think at this point, even the most non-involved voter knows that it's going to go to Clinton. So I'm not so sure they won't want to push one towards Bernie just to sort of keep her on her toes.
So here's the thing that is interesting to us, because we're going to be in Cleveland. If this goes to nobody gets 1237 and it goes beyond a first ballot, Mitch Daniels is a guy, Mark, you know very well. He's a guy that is a confidant of yours and you of his, and he counted on your advice to do the job he did in Indiana. And everybody knows this, I think, that Mitch Daniels, you go back to a very recent presidential election or two, and everybody said, no, we got to have Mitch Daniels before he decided to go and run Purdue. So what if we get to a second ballot and people start throwing his name around?
Well, I was disappointed that Mitch didn't get into this. I think he would make a very fine president. It's way too early to know. I do think that Trump is going to get the 1237, especially if he does well today. But the scenario you're laying out, it's possible, and certainly Mitch comes right to the top of the list. And I do think that things have been so destructive, it's hard to see any of the three who are still in there getting it if it goes past the first ballot. I just think that the people would take a deep breath, go into the trenches, slug it out, and then somebody like Mitch could emerge and obviously, he would be my choice.
So if we go to Cleveland and we get a contested convention, anything's possible. Let's say we don't. Let's say what we think is obvious is going to be the case. It's a Hillary-Trump battle. Going forward, you've got two. I can't think of a time where we had two more disliked candidates who would be fronting both parties. And this is a longer conversation, Mark, that you and I can have, you know, by podcast and other places. But isn't it time to blow up the system to some extent? Isn't it time for people to have other options?
What you have here, Steve, it's really quite amazing. You have, on the one hand, in Hillary Clinton, the personification of sort of moneyed power and quasi-corrupt politics, if you will. And then on the Trump side, you have the personification of celebrity and self-promotion. These are not positive traits of America in the 21st century. And so we're kind of getting what we deserve, if you will. But you're right. We've got to go back and change the way we're doing things. You mentioned my candidacy. For 6 months, the RNC carried me as one of 18 candidates
right
on their website. But you couldn't get the media to let me in. They just locked arms and said, unless you were a governor or a senator, you didn't count unless you were Donald Trump. And then they gave the coverage to him because he sold copy. He sold advertisements.
Right. And ratings drive advertising, drives revenue, and so on. But the counterargument to that, Mark, as you well know, because you've heard Ted Cruz make it as well, and even Kasich to a lesser extent, is every day Trump's people were calling looking for availability, as opposed to people like Anderson Cooper having to call Cruz and say, we'd like to have you on, and Cruz's people saying no. So in other words, if you're Trump and you take the free publicity, and believe me, it's hard for me to defend him in any way, but I got to defend him on this one. Why wouldn't he take it?
Oh, I'm with you 100%. You have to admire the effectiveness of the campaign he's run. But I criticized him right when he came out of the blocks because I felt his language was divisive. It was intentionally misleading. If we're going to solve problems like immigration, which we have to solve, we're only going to do it if we have a very strong discourse on it and the demonization of immigrants in a time when we need to be reinforcing assimilation. It's not going to help us conquer radical Islam if we're disenfranchising and trying to make pockets of populations that don't participate, and that's the danger.
Mark, let me ask you about Kasich. I know you just mentioned him briefly. We really haven't touched on him. I know he's the lone horse. He's not going to win, but is he still holding out hope for a brokered convention? Why is he still in?
I just think he's sort of a stubborn fellow, which is why he has been as successful as he's been, and he's hoping for what you just laid out, what Steve laid out, a brokered convention. But I don't think it'll bounce his way if that happens. So I do think that it doesn't really matter. Look, if you, all the indications are this deal that the armistice that Cruz and Kasich did, that it hasn't worked, that it's really not helped Cruz at all. So I don't think anybody's winning by his staying on at this point.
Did you find the pick of Carly Fiorina weird, at least in the timing?
Well, I do think that the American people don't buy the argument that Trump went bankrupt four times. They walk down the street and they see a Trump Tower or something, a
sure,
Trump hotel.
Sure.
But it sucked in. The American people did hear about HP, and she was damaged during the campaign. So I don't think adding her into this really helped him, given the attacks, the savage attacks she'd made on him and everything else. I think it sort of made him more political, if you will.
There's a million questions I could ask you, Mark, so I do want to have you back sooner than later, but I will leave you on this. I think in every year we come down to this, we go, oh, the running mate's very important, very important, very important. I really, really, really think the running mate's important now. Not about getting the person elected, but because we're electing one of two people, if it goes the way we think it's going to go, who are going to be 70 on their next birthday after they're elected. And you don't have to go to insurance actuaries to understand that you're more likely to die at 70 than you are at 50. So you got to have somebody who's ready to go. Who are these two going to pick?
I don't know. I mean, you're raising a very important question. It's been a long time since we've had a president who's not served out his full term.
Right.
And we're sort of, one would think we're sort of due for that for reasons you're laying out. I agree. It's an important choice. And frankly, I also think that the job is evolving such that the vice president can and should be almost a number two. It hasn't historically been the case, but running pieces of the government. So
totally agree.
You know, you pick somebody who has got their strong credentials. Hillary's obviously knows the forefront, whatever you think of her. Maybe she wants somebody to have a strong hand on managing the government. Trump is going to need someone. I would hope he would pick someone who has federal government experience because the federal government is different from the state level or certainly from business. So I hope he gets someone who's had some federal executive branch experience.
And the mistake that President Obama made when he was elected in not really working to try to break those walls down in Congress, no matter how stubborn and stupid some of the people in the Senate and the House were, you know, tell me where Trump has made, those inroads, because Trump would have to be the guy to do it. Certainly Ted Cruz doesn't feel like he's the guy to do it. Hillary at one point named Republicans her enemy. I say this all the time, Mark. You're president of the United States. You're not president of the Republicans or the Democrats. And, you know, somebody's got to get that memo or we're in big trouble.
Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's the basis on which I ran. I ran on a campaign that my assessment was that there was a lot of ground in the center, and that people who are center-right would accept center-left solutions and vice versa if they were well-reasoned and they weren't being done for purely political purposes. The one thing I'll say about Trump, and Trump would clearly be a real rupture with our traditions, I think in areas like tax and health care and others, there would be such a sort of earthquake that would come from his election. I do think that he would sit down with the Kevin Brady's who runs Ways and Means, or Orrin Hatch, or the Democrats in those positions, and they would cobble together deals. The area where you have to be more skeptical about Trump is in the foreign arena, where the executive branch has that authority to sort of act, go it alone, if you will.
Great stuff, Mark. How do we stay in touch with you in the meantime before we talk again? You want to throw out a social media site or a website, or should I just call you?
You call me and we'll talk anytime, Steve.
All right. I appreciate it. And congratulations on your success. It's Mark Everson. Interesting guy and really, really smart guy. And again, Mitch Daniels, other voice, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, Mary, traffic, please.
Stall inbound Edens at Foster in the center lane, up to an hour inbound Kennedy from O'Hare, 40 outbound. The inbound Ike's an hour 25 from 53, an hour from Mannheim, and outbound an hour to 53. Inbound Stevenson 55 from the Tri-State, 26 on the Ryan from 95th. Jammed line 355 south from Lake to North on the Tri-State, northbound 75th to 290, and on the drive from Bryn Mawr to Belmont. Traffic sponsored by Jewel. Get set for the best in fresh from with Jewel Osco savings on Lucerne large eggs. Get a dozen for just 88 cents. Limit four. And USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast or Fresh Purdue Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts are $2.99 a pound. Mary Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
Spring's here. Time flies. One thing you never have enough time for is, or enough of, I should say, is time.
Oh, very true. Except Jessica.
I don't have enough time to have time. Yeah, I'm complaining. The kid of the week this morning has a schedule that makes mine look easy. Go to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today. Time is money. They know it. And they've got this Big Fix lease that can save you both time and money. The Big Fix monthly lease costs a lot less than buying. You get a lot more Chevy for a lot less money and a new Chevy every 2 or 3 years. New technology, new safety, the latest streaming and 4G LTE Wi-Fi. Plus, your new Chevy's a mobile hotspot that supports up to 7 devices. Times are changing. Get on board. Save time and money with your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers and the Big Fix lease. Chevy's number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland 5 years running, and I'm telling you, you get to your local Chevy dealer, whoever it is, and they are the people supporting your community. Little leagues this time of year, they're the people who are paying for the parade, they're the people that are taking care of your community. So support your local Chevy dealer in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana, and go to ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Let's get another contestant in before 8 o'clock. We'll come back with another karaoke contestant. We're off to a pretty good start with Carolyn, man. It's a tough act to follow.
She was phenomenal.
John DeCosta is your musical director and judgmental judge next on 720 WGN. All right. Joe, is his name really Nunchuck? Is that his stage name or is that his actual name? Joe Nunchuck.
Demchuck.
Oh, I knew it.
Joe, I'm a little disappointed because
every time it was mispronounced, Steve, I'd have your money.
Joe, I got to be honest with you. I was hoping it was Nunchuck because it's funnier. All right, Joe, what are you going to sing for us?
Slow Dancing by Johnny Rivers.
Oh, very nice. Whenever you're ready, go.
It's late at night and we're all alone. Just the music on the radio. No one's coming, no one's gonna telephone. Just me and you and the lights down low. And we're slow dancing, swaying to the music. Slow dancing, just me and my girl. Slow dancing, swaying to the music. No one else in the whole wide world.
Come on, John, you and
yeah,
me now.
That was, yeah.
The whole wide world. That was, Joe, that's really good, man.
Very
it's really good.
Good.
So what kind of last name is Upchuck?
No. Nemchuck.
Oh, Nemchuck. Nem.
And by the way, Joe.
That was really good.
By the way, Joe. Yeah, Joe and Carolyn, really strong.
What a way to start this out.
You take the fine, high quality. Hold on, Joe. We got to make sure we know how to find you. You take the fine, high quality audio of singing through your phone in your car
with the wind
the processing of 720 WGN and add some wind. You got yourself a fine musical performance.
Yeah, but that was they were both really good.
Really good.
God, what a way to start this off.
We'll tell you how you can enter online as well coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:12 in the morning before we get to show business, which is mostly the James Beard Awards from last night. By the way, Dean, was that on TV?
It was not.
Okay. What was that little TV logo on the podium? What was that thing?
Closed circuit.
Oh.
They showed
it. They just showed it like in the lobby?
Well, actually, they do show it in the lobby and other parts of the vast Civic Opera House space.
Well, we got the Beard Award winners, the Tony Award nominations, Oprah News, and Hulk Hogan news coming up. And no, Oprah and Hulk Hogan have not made a movie exposed by Gawker, so don't worry about that. But I have a quandary here.
A dream come true, though, if it was.
Really was. It would be delightful. We got a real mystery going on in here. So we got this young man that works on the show. He's a good guy. And I call him Baskin Robbins because I have trouble pronouncing his name.
What's
his real name?
Bennett Wakenight.
Bennett is my producer on my Sunday show.
Oh, you know Bennett.
Yeah.
Okay. So we send Bennett out to on a Starbucks run.
Okay.
Now, when Ross Cochran, my son, worked on this show, and we send Ross out on a Starbucks run, it would take him an hour and a half.
It would.
So.
Coffee was cold.
Yeah. Now, Bennett, I believe, is running some sort of witchcraft voodoo. Because I don't drink coffee, as you know, Dean, but he brings me back a bottle of water and a treat. He throws it at me
like a
dog.
Biscuit or like a,
yeah, he just throws it. If I sit up in bed, he'll throw it in my mouth.
Like a biscotti.
But I think he's got the coffee down the hall. I think he gets it before the show, and he's got some kind of hot plate set up or something down the hall. Because he leaves, and 8 seconds later, he's back with coffee. Nobody does a Starbucks run that fast.
No, yeah, you turn your head one way, you turn it to the left, and there's the coffee.
Well, Ross is not a short man, but Bennett is like 6'6" or something like that.
He's over 8 feet tall.
He's much taller. So, I mean, like in three steps, he's at the Starbucks.
Oh, so you think it's a stride thing?
I think he's able to get to the Starbucks, where it would take you or I or Ross or, 50 steps to cross the street. And Bennett, it's like, boink, boink, he's there.
Well, but Bennett seems to be more committed to the job, where Ross apparently was phoning it in. Where Ross would just leave, and then he'd go across the street, he'd take his time, he'd wander.
You don't think Ross was working on show ideas and show topics?
No.
Okay.
No.
Maybe he met Lauren for breakfast.
He could have. He had time.
Yeah.
But Bennett, honestly, and say hi to Dean, he's your real boss.
Hi, Dean. How are you? I'm great.
All right, so Bennett, what is the deal?
Never getting me coffee on Sunday, by the way.
Well, you just never asked.
Well, that's true. I never.
What is the deal with the Starbucks thing? How could you possibly be that fast? Because, by the way, I've seen these baristas, and they could give a rat's patootie how fast you want to get things done.
Well, the first step is befriending all of them. Just smiles and saying hello.
So it's your charm?
It's a little bit charm. A little bit is dodging traffic like a maniac.
But honestly, none of us have seen you cross the street. You're lying about something here. You must be.
Well, that's the beauty of show business. You don't have to expose everything.
Smoke and mirrors. Yep.
Yeah. There is a Starbucks on this side of the street, and it's probably just as close as the one across Michigan Avenue.
No. See, I like the challenge of it. Going
there's one every 30 feet. It's a state law.
Yeah.
He's like Frogger going in and out of the cars.
Right.
With his gait to get over there.
So do you actually go to Starbucks, actually order the coffee, and it's not pre-made, it's not ready, you don't go in and say, is the Bennett ready, and they have the names on the cups already?
No, it's no cheating or cutting corners.
That's a miracle, Dean. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. And again, all I'm getting out of it is a lousy bottle of water, but it's a miracle.
It's an amazing, he's a good producer, Steve.
Yeah, well, I don't know about
As I have contributed my share of producers over the years to you and the afternoon show, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're apparently impossible to work with. You run it through producers like Milt Rosenberg.
Well, I train them so they can work with you divas.
It is probably what's happening, isn't it?
I think if they can stand me, if they can put up with me, then they get promoted to the real divas on the station.
I do know that when Kevin came to me initially, Kevin, you know, the traitor Kevin, when Kevin came to me, Kevin Ball, he did have a twitch for a while, and he said, well, I worked with Dean.
That's right. I don't claim to be easy to work for.
All right, so Bennett, no magic. It's just you going to Starbucks.
Just good old Midwestern training to Starbucks runs.
I'm telling you right now. If anybody listening wants the fastest Starbucks runs ever, you hire Bennett.
Yeah.
Frusenglage and Farfignugan right
Baskin
here.
Robbins.
You hire him for $100,000 in a company car. He will get it done.
Mm-hmm. Freelance Starbucks running right here. He's making an app soon.
He's our own Uber. Seriously, think about it.
Yeah. He's Starbucks Uber. He's Stuber.
He's a Stuber. Stuber. Yeah.
And by the way, this is the most important responsibility of any radio producer. Never mind the actual quality of the show, things that are on the program.
Yeah, that's true.
It's doing stuff on the side for the hosts. Yeah. That's really the main job on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And Bennett, I don't know if Steve has gotten to this for you yet. He likes medium starch and his shirts on hangers, not folded, just so you know later on.
Good to know.
Now, I've got a house in Naperville. You got to go out and get them from there and bring them down to the city. I hope
I'll hop on my bike. I'll figure out the best.
He'll be there in four steps. That city rides his bike to Starbucks.
Yes. And it's not Uber. It's Stuber. Yeah. It's Starbucks for Uber. It's Stuber. We just invented it.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Mother's Day Sunday, Dean, as you know, and our texters are still welcome to chime in with dumbest Mother's Day gift that you ever gave. You know, the bad Mother's Day gifts, the really bad ones. Like one year with my mom, Dean, I called her.
Oh, see, that's...
At 10 o'clock at night.
That's at 10 o'clock at night.
Kind of forgot. Not good. Yeah. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks and the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. All right, James Beard Awards, how'd it go?
Three Chicago restaurants took pretty huge prizes. Maybe the hugest of them all, best restaurant in America, outstanding restaurant in America. Alinea, Grant Ackett's and Company taking honors for that, so that was fantastic.
Can you even get in there, Dean? Do they even take reservations?
Oh, yeah. The restaurant doesn't even exist. It's so exclusive,
but
it doesn't
exist.
You have to
do it like months in advance, right?
I have a reservation for the year 2019.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're building it.
Really looking forward to that. So,
Alinea means good effing luck to get a table.
It's not. It's hard to get in, but it's not that hard to get it.
Yeah.
The chef from Grace in the West Randolph district. Curtis Duffy won Best Chef from the Great Lakes region.
He works here, doesn't he, Duffy?
That's a different that's a different Duffy. And the Cherry Circle Room, which is inside the Chicago Athletic Association on South Michigan Avenue, they won Best Restaurant Design. So Chicago chefs and restaurants taking some pretty nice honors.
How was the red carpet?
Last night. The red carpet was really fun. You know Phil Rosenthal, right? He was the executive producer on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Sure, been in here a bunch of times. Yeah.
And he's got his own food show now, which is one of my favorite food shows that there is. It's called I'll Have What Phil's Having, and he goes to the most unusual places. It's a really different take on a food show.
He's a funny guy, too.
Really funny guy. He won a Beard Award also last night for his cooking show, and we talked with him briefly on the red carpet.
15 years from the idea to fruition, and what a happy ending. I'm just so delighted. And now I get to come here tonight. I get to present. I have friends here. I can't believe how many people I know from the food world. I always wanted to be part of the food community. You know why? My mother was a terrible cook.
Is this more exciting for you than all your success on Raymond?
I'm going to say yes. You know why? Because it's happening right now. Right? That's in the past, that stuff. Well, live for the moment. People, live for the moment.
He's very, very super excited. Also,
you know what's funny is he makes Bernie Sanders look like a shiksa. he puts the J-E-W-I-S-H in Jewish. Let me tell you that right now.
He's a great guy.
He really is.
Really
fabulous guy.
Known him for years because you know we are still the Everybody Loves Raymond rerun station.
Yeah.
But we've known him for years, talked with him many times on their set here at WGN at the radio station. Also, Ming Tsai was at the event last night. Do you ever watch that show, Simply Ming?
I do not.
I love... I love the cooking shows. I love watching them. So Ming Tsai is one of the most popular TV chefs in the world. Don't call him a celebrity chef, as I found out.
For the record, I hate the term celebrity chef because what does that really mean? Is Brad Pitt a celebrity actor? No, he's an actor. We're just chefs. We just happen to be a little black box. I am no better than the other 1,000 or 2,000 chefs in this country. I just happen to be in a little black box. So that for the record. I think the bar's been raised because the palate of the American people, also called Americans, have been raised, right?
2,000 chefs. There's 2,000 chefs in Chicago. He's not a math major.
Well, and now every time I see him, I am going to call him a celebrity.
Absolutely.
Because I see I'm getting under his skin a little bit.
How about Rachel Ray?
One of our favorites who had her show here on WGN for a very long time. Oddly enough, we found out something very interesting about her appearing at the Beard Awards last night. How fun is it for you to be here tonight?
I've never been in my entire life.
What?
First time I ever got invited to the ball. I'm pretty
excited.
How
can this be possible?
It's pretty cool.
How does Rachel Ray not get invited to the Beard Award all these years?
I don't know, but it's pretty amazing. I'm excited.
I don't think any of these fancy schmancy, five-star chefs have invented phrases like EVOO and made it part of the American,
yeah.
And you are in the dictionary.
I have made it to the dictionary, and I designed an oval spaghetti pot. Good for me.
That's right. Well, we miss you on WGN. You have to come back.
Get me home. Take me home.
Somebody bring this girl back to WGN.
Thank you, darling.
Not so happy being over on the big number 7, apparently.
No. She wants out. You could hear it in her voice.
They did bury her in the middle of the night. That may be part of
exactly.
Why she wants to come back. And also, your favorite smoothie maker, Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, he should be on for his smoothies.
He was on the red carpet. We didn't talk smoothies because I know that you covered that with him earlier in the week. But I was curious if he did have any kitchen skills, and I was surprised at his answer.
I love to clean the dishes.
Really?
I love cleaning up afterwards. I love just the water on your hands. Your back is to everybody. Nobody bothers
you. Nobody can bother you.
Yeah, all they do is bring extra plates and you keep going. and it's mindless. Grease? Here. See? I love it.
Wow.
And I love cleaning up after dinner. And if I can't get the guests to leave, I just get up and start cleaning up the dishes.
That's a good hint. Time to go home. Who would have guessed that, Steve?
With all due respect to the mayor, what kind of freak show loves cleaning up?
He finds it therapeutic, apparently.
Right. And with all due respect, so you can call the mayor a freak show if you say that as a preface.
I will say, as much as he apparently does all the dishes in his house, hands soft as a baby's bottom, Steve.
I know that for a fact. And his wife, Amy, makes a mean smoothie. All right, running out of time. Tony Awards, hit me.
The big winner, of course, Hamilton. 16 nominations.
Holy mackerel.
Breaks the record that the producers and Billy Elliot had set before with 15 apiece. The other productions that have been nominated, Eclipse for Best Play, Eclipse, The Father, The Humans, King Charles III. Besides Hamilton on the musical side, Bright Star, School of Rock, Shuffle Along, and Waitress.
Okay. And I have heard that no matter what happens with the Tony Awards this year, they are going to gay it up a little. So.
It's going to be June 12th, by the way, on that gay old network CBS. Oprah, just real quick here, I know you're pressed, but Oprah is going to star in a new biopic for HBO called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. This was a very, very popular book. True story of a woman whose cervical cancer cells were used to create the first human immortal cell line that's been used for medical research since the 1950s. It's an amazing, true medical story. And
immortal cell line, meaning cells that continue to generate new cells that can be used for whatever they're used for.
For medical research. These cells that have been regenerated have continued to be used for medical research since the 1950s.
Oh, that old story that she's telling again. How many times am I going to say that script?
It's an amazing story that... And who better the immortal Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
To play somebody whose life goes on.
I always like to tell people this is the number one talk show in Chicago. As long as Oprah doesn't come back.
That's right.
And Hulk Hogan suing Gawker again. Dean has details on Channel 9 all morning. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Texas says, I gave my mom a hot dog for Mother's Day. Hey, stop laughing. I was seven. I had a dollar. And she was hungry. It's a good gift for Mother's Day.
Sure.
I'm a pretty good gift giver, and I felt badly about the one time I screwed up Mother's Day, and I was commuting, and my mom was in New York, and it got to be the end of the day, and I was just leaving Midway, and I realized I hadn't called my mother. And it's one of the only times I remember my mother ever sounding really deeply disappointed in me.
Well, in your defense, you still made it. I mean, you called her before midnight.
Yeah. Not good, though.
Not good, no.
You don't take care of mom, you're not taking care of anything.
Especially since she was probably sleeping.
Yeah, it was East Coast time. That was nice of me, too, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, thanks for making me feel better, man.
It's really bad.
You know what? I shouldn't feel better. I should feel worse. So nicely done by you.
You should.
Book's called My Lost Brothers, The Untold Story of Yarnell Hill Fire's Lone Survivor. It's a memoir by Brendan McDonough. On June 30th, 2013, we lost the most firefighters we had lost since 9/11. The sole survivor for the Granite Mountain Hotshots of the wildfire fighting elite team is Brendan McDonough. He joins us now on the phone. You know, the obvious question first, Brendan, is how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It took me a long time, you know, probably up until about 6 months, a year ago, to be able to say that. And even in the last year, I've been really progressing, you know, with just a good amount of counseling, amazing support, and good faith. So thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
Well, and I know a lot of people were asking you to write the book as sort of a therapy to help you work through all this, because how could you not have PTSD after losing your 19 brothers?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry I laughed, but it's just, you know, it's so true. It's so true, and it speaks to itself. But at first I was like, oh, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. I'll get through this. I don't need help. So it's been an amazing journey.
The fire at Yarnell Hill in Arizona was unique. Why?
It was unique in the tragedy, to be honest. It was a small fire, and that's kind of one of the big denominators in these tragedy fires, sadly, is small fires. And what was unique is just how hard it pushed during the day, and how, you know, just that, like, just the power it has behind it. I can't, you know, paint a perfect picture, but just imagine, you know, the wind's blowing 30 to 40 miles an hour, and there's just a wall of fire that's, you know, 60 feet high, you know, and it's just smoky and black thick smoke. And so, you know, I think wildfires in itself are just fascinating and amazing and devastating, and it's all those in one.
And they have a life of their own, I know. And there's obviously athleticism with these guys, but there's also science and frankly, probably a fair amount of luck. And on that day, the luck was running against your guys, because did the wind change, or was it coming in multiple directions at one point?
You know, I wish there was a lot of luck, but I will have to say it's definitely skill and dedication for these guys, you know, and the hard training. And like you're saying, the science and it definitely, you know, the wind shifted. It made a 180-degree turn and turned right at them. And sadly, you know, that's when I lost my 19 brothers.
Now, you're in that position as, if not the youngest guy on the team, one of the youngest, right?
Correct. You know, I think there's one or two that was about a year younger than me. And we were all, you know, one of the guys that just turned 21 within that month, I believe. So he was 20 when he got hired on.
Right, and I don't, you know, want people to think I'm putting you through, you know, retelling this nightmare in your life, but that's the point of the book, is to have people understand what your guys do and what your guys did and you getting through it and all of that. So I don't feel badly I don't feel badly about asking you this, but your position on that day was lookout, correct?
Correct, yes.
So what does that mean in regards to fighting the fire? Where are you in relation to where they are?
I'm at a good vantage point, you know, to be able to see what's going on with the fire, to be able to have good communication with them, and to be able to, you know, relay information and just have a second opinion, and to be able to take weather and give them updates. And, you know, and what that looked like that day was my captain telling me, hey, it was time for, you know, hey, Donut, my nickname's Donut, it's time for you to get out of there, Donut. You know, why don't you go grab the vehicles with another hotshot crew, and we'll catch up with you later in the day. And that was kind of, you know, one of the last conversations I had.
So how long after you are called off your post does the wind change?
Within the time frame's really fuzzy, and kind of looking back on that day, it was within a few hours, I believe. You know, it kind of just slowly turned from north to northeast, and it just finally made its big push, you know, right around the time they deployed.
How'd you find out what happened?
Over the radio. I was still on the fire, and a lot of resources were gathered to try and kind of gain a new plan. You know, homes were burning at this time. You know, we're double-checking, triple-checking, making sure everyone's evacuated. And it just was one of those moments that I will never forget, that will forever be with me. And but it's moments like these that I get to honor my brothers and share their story, and that's why I wrote this book, and that's why I'm willing to sit here and relive this as many times as possible, because I know I'm tough enough, and I know I have the support, and I know that, you know, a life honoring them is a life worth living.
It's My Lost Brothers, The Untold Story of the Yarnell Hill Fires Lone Survivor, Brendan McDonough. Everybody talks about survivor's guilt when everybody's gone but you. I assume you must have went through that.
Yeah, it's been a huge part of my life, and it's something that I'll always carry with me. And going through the counseling I have, it's a little less painful, doesn't sting as much, but it's still there. You know, I miss my brothers dearly, and it's tough to know. It's tough to survive. It's tough to know that I get to wake up every morning and I get to see my family, and I get to spend time with my daughter, and my brother's kids don't have that. And it's just having good faith in knowing where they're at, and knowing that their wives and families are so strong, and that I just continue to look to them for strength, because they amaze me with what they've been able to get through.
Can you take any comfort in the fact that you know there's nothing you could have done differently and there's nothing more you could have done?
Now I can. I can say now I can, but if you had asked me that a year ago,
sure,
I'd have told you 100 different things I could have done differently. I could have, you know, and those do come back in my head every once in a while. I got to negate them. I got to sit there and say, my captain told me to leave.
Right.
And I'm going to listen to my captain. That's the person I love, I trust. You know, he has the experience. And, you know, for me to be with them, I would have had to been, you know, defiant to him. And that wasn't going to happen.
What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
That's an amazing question. I'm gonna live a life to honor them. I'm gonna live a life to be the best dad I can be, and I'm gonna live a life to serve, you know, my community and the people I care about.
I'll let you go on this, and I hope people get the book. It's called My Lost Brothers: The Untold Story of Yarnell Hill Fires Lone Survivor, Brendan McDonough. It's out and available everywhere. Hachette Books, and again, get two copies and share one with your friend, whoever that may be, and you could download it as well. You know, as you go forward, the best legacy you can live is to be healthy and be a great dad and be all the things that you've said. You know, as you stay in touch with these families and the kids of those firefighters grow up, will it surprise you if any of them get into the business?
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all for them to want to be as courageous and to be a hero like their father.
I wish you well, my friend. It's an amazing story to tell, and I'm glad you're telling it. I'm glad you're out there. It is the best way to honor those who you lost, and you dedicate the book to my brothers. It tells you from the beginning the story of Granite Mountain and why you were interested and how you got involved, and takes you through. And these guys are more than cowboys. These are rock-solid heroes, and I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for all of us who lost those men, but thank you for telling their story.
Hey, thank you so much for your compassion and time. I greatly appreciate it.
Get your copy of the book, My Lost Brothers.
Singing in your car. In your car. Singing in your car. It's called karaoke. Call the Cochran Show. The Cochran Show. Call the Cochran Show. It's called karaoke.
What is that? Is that the outtakes?
I don't know. We couldn't find the original one. So
the outtakes.
So I was just laughing. I said,
today?
Go ahead and use it. It's so bad.
That's unbelievable.
I can't believe you allow me to judge anybody after that.
That's the worst song you've ever done.
Yes.
I love the original, yes, though. singing in my car.
Oh, the girl. Well, Kevin's hidden it somewhere.
Yes,
we'll find
it. I'll text him and find out where it's at.
So, all right, let's go to Biker Don. Biker Don, ready to enter karaoke. Good morning, Biker Don.
Good morning, Steve. How are we doing today?
Doing fine. Are you on the bike now?
No. I'm actually working. The only reason I show up for work every day is to support my motorcycle habit.
All right, so, but are you near your car? Are you somewhere near your car?
I'm in my truck.
Oh, you're in your truck. Okay, great. What are you going to sing for us?
A little bit of Louis Armstrong.
Oh, what a wonderful
Look
world.
At this. That's another good choice. Way to go, Don.
It's
yes.
a great choice. All right, Biker Don, whenever you're ready, let me hear it.
Okay. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, we're waiting.
I thought
you were coming back with the big hook. That was the setup hook.
No.
Biker Don, that's a great entry.
That was really good.
Hold the line. We need to get your information so we can track
that
it.
That was
out.
Really good. Thank you, Biker Don.
Biker Don, getting it done. Plus, he got the growl in there. Got the Louis growl. Our first three entries, better than, you know.
I'm really excited about
so
this.
Am I. Yeah. Here's the deal on karaoke. You can sing your fanny off and send us a video or audio of you singing in your car as well. So you couldn't get in this morning or you're a little shy about doing it live on the air. You just take an audio app on your phone or you can pull over to the side of the road, shoot yourself a little selfie video of you singing and send it to me on Twitter at Cochran Show. Just to make sure you're on Twitter. It's tough to actually follow me and send it if you're not actually on Twitter. Ad Cochran Show, and you can also use the hashtag singing in the car or send an email to Steve Cochran Show at WGNRadio.com. We'll announce the three finalists next Wednesday. They'll be invited to come down to the tower to sing live and have John judge them in their car in our parking lot Friday. Only the winner will be allowed to come into the tower and come upstairs.
Yes.
But we have prizes for
everybody. Everybody wins.
Grand prize winner gets a 2-night stay in the city at the Palmer House, beautiful hotel. We'll also throw in some great prizes from Apt Electronics. And other prizes as well for second and third place.
Yeah, we also wanted to give the opportunity for the winner to come to our May 15th show at Zany's Rosemont, and I will write a song for both of us to sing.
Yes, you'll be on stage with John and I at Zany's in Rosemont a week from Sunday night. It's the Sunday after Mother's Day. It's a 7 o'clock Sunday night show. It's the talk show on stage, which is called...
The early late night talk show.
The early late night talk show because it's 7 o'clock, but it feels like a late night talk show. We'll have a tiny desk, too many people, and a band, and an announcer, and a good
time. A band,
time.
Yes, yeah.
And it'll be funny. And special guest, Thieven Rokon and his sidekick, Anna Bonnie DeVlantis. So they will be there as well. So that's it. Be ready to enter karaoke at any time. We may give you another shot before 10 o'clock, but we'll come back and get the news next on 720 WGN.
Do guys still wear undershirts?
The tank top undershirt is not an undershirt. It's a problem.
It's a great, great
People
line.
Really wear, they don't wear those much anymore, do they?
I do once in a while.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
He pulls his black socks up to his knees and
with
starts
his sandals.
Starts the motor.
Well, a lot of times I do.
Okay.
You sleep naked, Dave?
Okay, now this is going too far.
Do you?
I can't discuss that, Steve.
I want the truth!
Do you sleep just in underwear? I'm curious now, too. Do you?
That's not a no.
That's hot.
I used to sleep commando, but then the neighbors complained because I kept the windows open.
Gross.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9/11 coming up in about 10 minutes. Chris Hardwick, we had booked Chris the other day, and we had a technical issue, and I'm hoping we can connect with him today because I like him and he's funny. So Chris Hardwick in a few minutes. A couple of political notes on this primary day in Indiana. Ted Cruz ran into a Trump supporter yesterday and inexplicably spent 9 minutes with him trying to convince him he's the answer and Trump isn't. Here's some of that.
Listen, Donald Trump has accused everyone in this race of being a liar. Donald cannot tell the truth in 1 minute.
You'll find out tomorrow. So, Indiana don't want you.
Well, sir, you are entitled to have your rights, but I'll tell you this. Sir, America is a better country.
Without you.
Thank you for those kind sentiments. Let me point out, I have treated you respectfully the entire time. And a question that everyone here should ask.
Are you Canadian?
Do you want your kids...
Are you Canadian?
The guy just stared at Cruz while Cruz talked to him and then just heckled him.
It was so
bizarre. He spent
bizarre.
9 minutes with him.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't even uncomfortable. It was dumb.
It was awkward.
Last night, CNN ran the first running, the premiere of a special that you're going to be able to see on demand and on CNN for a while. It's pretty great. This week is the 5-year anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden. You remember where you were?
I do remember where I was.
I was in Florida at a bar mm-hmm. on the beach with like 60 people that didn't know each other. And if you remember, alerts started to pop on your phone about 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. By probably 10 o'clock our time, we knew that it was likely bin Laden. But this was the same time that Gaddafi had been missing.
Yeah.
And Gaddafi wasn't dead yet, so you thought, well, it's probably Gaddafi, because the whole Libya thing was going on then as well. And then by the time Obama came out to announce that we got him, there were literally hundreds on the verge of being thousands of people outside the gates of the White House screaming and dancing and clapping and cheering and stuff. So this special is great because it takes you behind the scenes. It takes you into the Situation Room, into that tiny conference room. I highly recommend people see it.
Remember it's that good. Picture, too? That picture that they snapped of everybody.
Yeah,
Obama,
and if you see
Hillary,
this special, that's where you talk to CNN.
Wow,
last night.
That was very
Peter
interesting.
Bergen does the interview, and Peter does nice work. So anyway, here's President Obama on the order to kill bin Laden, a piece from the special.
After the discussions with the principals, it was clear to me that this was going to be our best chance to get bin Laden. That if, in fact, we did not take the action, that he might slip away and might be years before he resurfaced. I had confidence that we could get our guys back. We knew that it was going to cause some significant blowback within Pakistan, and that if it wasn't bin Laden, probably the costs would outweigh the benefits, and we would lose face internationally, because there was probably going to be a lot of difficulty keeping it secret once the operation started.
There's also some great stuff on there from Admiral McRaven, who was the military point man in the deal and is literally in a closet in Afghanistan on the border of Pakistan, waiting for the results to come in. Telegraphing what's happening as they watch on this grainy black and white video. And he tells a great story about how they finally ID'd the body. I recommend it. It's on CNN. And I'm sure they're going to re-air it a bunch of times through the weekend, if not beyond. 9:15, we'll come back with Chris Hardwick next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And my first old man moment, not that long ago. Performing at Stanford, not that far from here. It was just about to be the 30th anniversary of my favorite movie, Back to the Future. 30th anniversary. Amazing movie. One of the best movies of all time. Everyone's seen it. Everyone loves it. And as I was kind of describing, like, hey, are you guys excited about Back to the Future? Quiet. Nothing. They just got really weird. Do you understand? That'd be like when I was in college, if some creepy old guy was on stage going, Gone with the Wind was the greatest damn movie in the history of entertainment. Too far up your own butts to know anything.
Chris Hardwick, at midnight, fun, comfortable. He's a funny dude. By the way, I'll give you $1 million if you can tell me how old Chris Hardwick is before I say hello to him.
25.
What is the deal, Chris? Do you moisturize? What's the story? How do you look so good?
I moisturize. You know, I lead a boring social life. I don't drink. I eat fairly healthy. I exercise a few times a week. It's not there's not anything that crazy about it. It's ridiculous how not ridiculous my life is.
Chris is 86 years old.
86.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Oh boy, you know, I could tell you some Taft stories.
Fun, comfortable. Comedy Central will be happy to show it to you again and again and again. How long were you writing it before you did it?
The tour was a few years. I mean, I guess maybe around 2012, I did the last special, and then after that, I took a several months off, and then in 2013, I started again. So it was about 3 years.
People don't get it. They don't get how hard it is. They don't get the you know, and look, it's not coal mining. I understand. But you go out, you get on the road, you try the stuff in clubs or various places, try some stuff on TV in your case, take something out, put it in, nuance it. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, it doesn't just come out of your head preformed.
Right.
The audience in your head isn't always reliable, so you have to, you know, it's because it's about forming a relationship with an audience and, you know, how do you find those things that somehow transcend, you know, cultural differences and regional differences and still, like, you know, wherever I go, this joke kind of works. So it just takes time. It takes a lot of time to find that.
It takes a lot of people who have had the two-drink minimum looking at you and going, oh, that wasn't funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be funny. This wasn't funny. And then you got to go back and figure out how to make it funny.
Now, speaking of funny, At Midnight with Chris Hardwick may be the most popular show you haven't stayed up late enough to see yet. And I'm highly recommending you do it or you DVR it. Did you have any idea how big this thing would blow up?
No. I mean, when we were developing the show and we did it live a bunch in L.A. just to kind of work out the kinks. And from the very first time we did it live, there was an explosive energy in the room, and we thought, oh my God, maybe this was a fluke, but it feels like there's something here. But at the core, you know, it's just me and my friends who are comedians making inappropriate jokes about the internet. Like, that's it. And it's really fun. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a ton of British panel shows that have similar formats, so it's sort of like that, but we don't really do much of it in America.
Yeah, but you hook a game show in too, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, the game show part's great because it always means, I mean, I would say At Midnight probably has the highest joke per minute ratio of any television mm-hmm. show.
I'd agree with that.
And, you know, the only downside of that sometimes is that we don't get to, you know, like on The Daily Show or Wilmore or, you know, Colbert, they do have time to build longer arcs about things, or John Oliver. So we don't really have time to do that necessarily, but I do think that, you know, the high joke ratio is pretty key.
No, it's working. Chris Hardwick, At Midnight with Chris Hardwick. And here's how you know a show is starting to happen: when all your friends, in quotes, because they're show business friends, all your friends start calling and going, hey, can I get on? Right? I mean, you're getting those calls.
Yeah, or you meet people and for whatever reason, they're you know, they're like, hey, how come I've never been on your show? And uh-huh. they seem kind of upset. And you're like, oh, it's not, I don't know, it was just an oversight, I promise, we'll get you on.
That's kind of
a nice place to be, because I've worked on enough stuff where people did not want to come on, so you know, I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, I don't know who you have in your life. It's Sandberg on this show, the person that you have to have in your life or in your company that says no. Is that your producer, your manager? Who does that for you?
My manager Alex is a pretty great guy, and he doesn't do things that are motivated by money. He does things that are sort of like what's best career wise, and
right.
you know, like what do you want to do, and how do we kind of build this? And so, you know, we turn down a lot of stuff, and I think most other people would go, no, you got to do that, you got to do that, you got to do that. But he's really the guy with the level head.
I think I know your manager. What's Alex's last name?
Murray, Alex Murray.
Oh yeah. He handles tons.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He handles some of the best comics in the business.
He really does. Yeah, he's got Jim Gaffigan, you know, which, you know, Gaffigan's a
yeah, he's a pal. Stuff. Yeah, he's a pal of ours. He also handles one of the funniest guys out there today, Wolf Blitzer. Do you know Wolf?
I've heard.
Oh,
like Wolf is, you know, the Situation Room is the most underrated comedy show.
It is this year. Andrea, say hi to Chris.
Hey, Chris, on behalf of my godchildren, you can never give up Sanjay and Craig.
Oh.
I'm hooked on it now.
Okay, I don't know if we're doing that many more, but it'll air forever. They'll run them forever.
On their behalf, of course. Wink, wink. I love that show.
That it's never going to end.
I can't believe you get away with it, the stuff that you guys get away with on that.
Well, the cool thing about Sanjay and Craig, right, there's jokes for you and the kids think it's for them.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah, there's some pretty crazy stuff that they do that I'm surprised get in the show. And then there's just, like, weird stuff. Like, in every episode, somewhere in the background, they draw a pickle. In every episode.
It's true.
There are pickles in every episode. In the painting or in wallpaper. It's such a strange, wonderful, you know, like, it's one of those shows like Adventure Time where you're like, it's for kids and hipsters who are smoking weed.
It's great to act like you're 12.
Neither of which we're doing with the kids, by the way.
Sanjay and Craig.
No, of course not.
Right.
Sanjay and Craig runs on Nickelodeon all the time. By the way, If you want to get into show business, get into kids' entertainment. You know who's making all the money? Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Nickelodeon's never made more money. They make more money now than they did years ago.
Yeah, what's that other show? It's after Sanjay and Craig. Pickle, Banana, Rabbit. You know that one? That's pretty risque, too.
Is it called Pickle, Banana, Rabbit?
I'm not kidding you. Yeah, it's called like Pickle, Banana, something, something.
A couple of things. You need to get out of the house.
I know. I'm watching the kids too much.
Are you sure you didn't just see a bowl of fruit on a table and think it was a show?
It was my pre-festivities before Sanjay and Craig.
Well, you're working way too hard. You got every possible show going. It doesn't look like you've turned down an acting gig recently. Take a break, Hardwick. You're working too hard.
I know. I just, the opportunities when you're a performer, I've 8 years of my career, I couldn't get work at all. And so then when people are like, do you want to do this really cool thing? You're, well, of course I do.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I, So it's really just, you never know when the opportunities are going to stop.
Yeah, and you need to say yes at the right time. Fun Comfortable is the new special on Comedy Central. You can get that on demand as well. And the show that Andrea was referencing is called what?
Pig, Goat, Banana, Cricket.
Of course it
I'm
is.
I'm not kidding you guys.
Of course it is.
It sounds like you just had a stroke. Are you all right?
Help me, Chris.
And the host of At Midnight. Chris, where do we find you on social media?
Hardwick, at Hardwick on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And then Fun Comfortable is out today on iTunes.
All right. The CEO of Nerdist Industries. And follow him and consume Chris's stuff because he's funny. Thanks, bud. I appreciate you being on.
Thanks, man.
Chris Hardwick. Fun Comfortable.
I do like Sanjay and Craig. It's a very cute show.
Have you ever seen Chris do stand-up?
No.
It was really good. Yeah. 9:27, we're back after this with the big story. Still to come, a couple of minutes with Orion Samuelson and one more whack at karaoke on Karaoke's opening day 2016. This is 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
It's 9:40. The legend, Orion Samuelson, is here. Orion was in the original class of Walk of Fame members, added to last year by Dave Hennett. And we'll have the Walk of Fame ceremony coming up. Is it? It's June, isn't it?
No, it's 27th.
Last Friday, coming up,
the last Friday of May.
It is?
Yeah.
What's the date?
27th.
Aren't you emceeing it?
Write it down.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The MC. I need to make a note of that. May 27th. I'm going to have
to
change.
That's a 2 and a 7.
I'm going to have to change my hair appointment.
10 a.m. You better write the time down, too.
I always like to catch up with Orion, our friend Orion Samuelson. Somebody asked me the other day, are you feeling as good as you sound? Because people know you had to do a little valve operation last year. I had a couple valves installed. How are you feeling?
Oh, they're working fine. They're working fine.
Yeah.
Working on my legs now because I guess as a kid on the dairy farm, I should have been drinking beer instead of milk because I do have some calcium deposits in my legs.
Well, we can't blame the cows.
No, we can't. We can just blame me. But no, doing fine. Spent 3 days in Washington last week and spent Saturday night in Racine, Wisconsin with 600 employees of CNH, the company that makes tractors and all that. It was their, they have a 20-year club, and if you've been part of that. But most of them were retired, but there were quite a few still working as well. But I visited with an employee who was 102 years old, and I swear to God, he could have been out there building tractors. He was
102 looking at you going, kid, you don't know anything. You're still learning.
He absolutely did. So anyway, it's been good, but I'll tell you what's bothering me today. Every time I hear the Donald Trump commercial on trade and trade agreements, or the Hillary comment, or the Bernie Sanders comment, who wants to cancel existing trade agreements, they forget we're in a global economy, and this morning is proof. Our markets are down because of a move in Australia.
Right.
Our markets are down because of a move in China.
And
we
are not
a U.S.
You can't put that cat back in the bag.
No,
it's over. It is a interconnected worldwide digital economy. So if you're not smart enough to take advantage of international trade agreements, you're going to get left behind.
And there's a very important one right now. It was a topic of conversation in Washington with the people I talked to last week, and that's the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure Donald Trump understands
anything. I don't think any of them understand it, to be honest with you.
And Hillary, when she was Secretary of State, supported it. Now that she's running for president, she isn't, because I think it could cost her votes.
Right.
And then, of course, you got Bernie, who wants to cancel. And then the one island out there who does know something about it, John Kasich. And he just...
Right, and he can't get a headline.
No, he can't.
You know, the thing, there is a notion that, I suppose you could say, is sadly outdated, but that notion being, if I have a job, I'm entitled to a job. And there was a time in this country, post-Depression, where you could count on maybe getting in with a company and being with a company for an entire career. For my kids, my granddaughter, and for others, they're never going to have a life like that.
No, and that was the case in talking to the retirees at CNH and Racine Saturday night. They said, times are very different now. People don't hang around the same company all that long. They're always looking for something else. But, when it comes to trade, if we don't trade, we'll shut down half the farms in this country.
Well, you shut the farms down, but also the idea that because somebody owns a company, they're patently evil. Yeah. For a company to stay in business to provide jobs to anybody, they have to be able to make money.
Yeah.
And to be able to make money in a global economy, you have to have trade agreements. Same thing in farming. All these farms, you know, everybody thinks of a farm, it's the guy down the street that has a farm. Well, farms are interconnected too, right?
Absolutely interconnected. And we, I think, should point to all of the jobs that our export business creates.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, 132 million jobs are involved in exporting the goods of this country. And so somehow we have to get that message across, because it certainly isn't being shared now by the candidates.
The idea would be to have partnerships where everybody is playing on a level field and to hold other countries to standards. And by the way, you know me, I hate defending Trump, but Trump's not wrong about that. Trump's not wrong about the idea that China and other countries should do the same as we do
I
to
agree.
Them.
Yes.
But we're never going to be a U.S. economy. The U.S. economy is a subset of the world economy.
And, of course, there's a lot of talk about the automobile jobs that left the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't talk much about all of the Asian plants that built plants in this country
yeah.
to build their cars and provide jobs. Now, they may not be all union jobs, but they're jobs.
Right.
And, you know, that's up to the companies and the workers to hammer that one out. The good news, we're running ahead of planting progress, which is a huge surprise. 47% of the corn acres planted by Sunday night.
Well, that's good news for Andrea, who's going to get on her combine today.
No. You still have to get on the planter.
That's right. Yeah.
In September, you'll get on the combine.
On the combine,
yeah,
yep.
Right.
Yep. And everyone down to Champaign listening. Very happy.
Yeah, and we're going to have the president of...
Yes, President Killeen is going to be in studio on Friday with us.
Really?
From the University of Illinois. Yes.
Tell him hello.
We definitely will.
We're trying to figure out higher education financing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going forward, because Springfield can't seem to get out of their own way again.
Again and again and again.
And Illinois is still one of the top, if not the top, ag programs in the state. In the country.
Well,
in
the president of Ecuador.
Mm-hmm. Rafael Correa.
Yeah. Yeah. University of Illinois graduate.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. And bringing some of that ag science back to his country.
Yep.
By the way, we continue to wish them well as they try to recover from that terrible earthquake.
Right. Yeah.
One last thing before I let you go. I salute you again. And I know you get tired of me saying this. But I salute you again because the other morning I'm driving in. You were in D.C. It must have been Monday morning.
Yeah.
You're in D.C. And I'm listening to your schedule. Now, I don't know if you got the memo. You're 82, and you can slow down. I know you choose not to, but you can. But you had like 14 meetings with 15 congressmen and the Secretary of Agriculture, and then you were going to go out and, do 15 other speeches and 12 other things and then have a dinner at night.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the secret, man?
The secret is stay active, because it keeps your mind active. I have watched too many friends at WGN over the years counting the days to retirement.
Right.
And 6 days after they retire, they're dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want that.
I'm not going to do that.
In Orion's defense, he went down from 15 meetings to 12 and from 12 dinners to 10.
Oh, so, that's great.
There you go.
That's great. And how's Gloria? Everything good?
Gloria is looking forward to playing golf in the league tomorrow for the first time, and thunderstorms are in the forecast, so... Dave, you have to fix that.
Yeah, Mother Nature straightened it out so Orion doesn't have a meeting at the house. Yes.
I wish I could.
Yeah. Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, good to be here. Good to be seen.
What is Orion? Better to be seen?
Than viewed.
Yes, yes.
That's my favorite.
Orion Samuelson, 948, back with Bill and Wendy coming up. You know, we got time probably for one more karaoke. You don't have to, but if you'd like to get in and sing for big prizes, it's our second annual karaoke. We'll take you singing if you're in your car now at 312-981-7200. And we'll also check some last-minute texts, too, on the worst gifts you ever got, Mom. All right, we'll see if we can get a few more of those in. On 720 WGN.
Singing in your car. In your car. Singing in your car. It's called karaoke.
This is so bad it's good.
Call the Cochrane Show. The Cochrane Show. Call
this isn't even
show.
Synced up. That's the best part.
That was the outtake of the original that we have to find where you actually did it and did it well. Karaoke. Before we get back to karaoke, I want to get a plug in for Wendy. Wendy Snyder is going to be a builder supply outlet for the new Kitchen Bath Showroom grand opening. Special private after hours showing 6 to 8 on the 12th. That's a week from Thursday. Get inspired by 14 new designer displays and talk with their experienced pros. Meet Wendy and shop the showroom. And that's at Builders Supply Outlet, 5 miles east of Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview. And register now for the special after-hours showing so you can make sure you get in. I'll tell you how much I believe in what they're doing at Builders Supply Outlet, redoing my kitchen with these guys.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you haven't had us over for dinner.
Well, that and Dave.
Well, yeah.
You know. Right.
Keep your liquor.
Please.
I know.
Here's the deal. Sing yourself silly because if you send us a video or audio for karaoke of you singing in your car, not while the car's in motion, you could be a big winner. We'll get a two-night stay at the Palmer House Hilton here. We've got gifts from Apt Electronics. We got stuff. Two ways to send in your submissions. You can tweet us 15 seconds or less of you singing. Tweet it on Twitter at Cochrane Show with the hashtag singing in my car. Or singing in the car. And send an email to Steve Cochran Show at WGNradio.com if you prefer that route. You're going, well, how do I tape on my phone? There's audio that your camera on your phone, if you have a smartphone, it can take video. And then just attach it to an email if you like, or put it up on Twitter. And there's a million audio apps if you just want to click on an audio app and just record yourself. They're all free.
It's simple.
Yeah, it's simple. We'll announce the three finalists next week, and then they'll be invited to come to the Tribune Tower and sing live with John on Friday. The only way you're going to win this thing is if you're in the parking lot next Friday morning, Friday the 13th, and then John will go car to car and judge your singing. Remember how cold it was last year?
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah. And again, thanks to the Palmer House Hilton Hotel. You get details on all this at WGNradio.com/contest. The final spiff here for your big career break is the winner will do a duet on stage with you at the Steve Cochran Early Late Night Talk Show on May 15th.
You got it right.
Yeah, thanks. The Early Late Night Talk Show on Sunday night, May 15th at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be. I'll write a little song for both of us, and they'll have a chance to perform, meet us, talk to us, be part of the show. It's fun. It's good.
You want to hear one more?
Sure, let's do it.
Tracy. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine. Where are you headed?
I just arrived at my location in Itasca, so I am sitting in the car.
And are you going to work, or is this work where you go?
I am. I'm in sales, so I'm headed to my first sales call.
Okay. What do you sell?
Commercial insurance.
All right. Well, sign me up for some.
I will.
There's a Starbucks right on Irving Park Road and Main Street.
Are you talking to yourself, or are you saying this to Tracy?
She's having an episode.
Oh, I'm
because I got to tell you.
I thought I was alone. I thought I was alone.
Because I got to tell you something. There's a Starbucks on every street in America. So, all right, Tracy, what are you going to sing for us?
Little Janis Joplin, Bobby McGee.
Ooh, very good.
Good choice. Whenever you're ready.
What a great day.
Hit it, Tracy.
All right. Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train. I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed the diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way to New Orleans. Well, I pulled my harpoon in and my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that driver knew. Feeling good is good enough for nothing left to lose. Nothing. It ain't nothing, honey, if it ain't free, yeah. You know, feeling good was good enough when Bobby sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee.
How good is that? Yeah. How good is that?
Yeah.
You know what? I cut everybody else off after 15 seconds. I was enjoying that. I didn't want her to stop.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, that was really good.
And here's the thing. You're doing it a cappella in the car, and you got to make it sound good. So if it sounds good that way, imagine what it sounds like live when John does karaoke live in your living room as he takes the winner and tours people's homes. Right? Yes. That's going to be
excellent.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Tracy, you are signed up. Hold on, because Tracy's in. We're going to pick a It's going to be tough to get these three finalists.
Yeah, it's going
to
be hard.
Rosemont, Zanies, tickets for the 15th?
Yes, you can contact Rosemont directly at 847-813-0484 or go to zaniesrosemont.com and get your tickets.
And thanks to John DeCoste, of course, for judging the musicians, the musical director of the show. You can go see John's YouTube channel and see pointless things he does on video as well. And today in DeCoste, how do you spell DeCoste?
DACOSSE.
And in case you're wondering, I ask all these questions because I am just another pretty face. It's 9:58. Bill and Wendy are next.